Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 251 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And I am super excited to bring you this one with Mark McCourt from Against the Grain Barbecue in Eugene, Oregon. That's right, Eugene, Oregon. And I was following him on Instagram, and I was checking out his stuff, and you could tell from his food, from his photos, that he's a chef. And then I found out he was a chef, and we talk about that, and we talk about his road to opening up his barbecue joint. And he comes at everything from that chef angle. And you'll see, I'll put links below, and I'll put some photos in the intro. You'll see that he's putting out great stuff with great thought behind every dish and every side dish. Very unique, using lots of local ingredients. He staged with Brendan Lamb at Smiley's Barbecue in Fort Worth. Staged for a day in Hurtado. He's super passionate about the barbecue world and super passionate about his own place. He's opening up a second trailer right next to his current trailer, which is going to be called Taviche, and it's going to be a Oaxacan barbecue restaurant, like a mix, a blend of those. And so that sounds awesome right there. Oaxacan food's amazing. He's a really cool guy. You're really going to enjoy this. A lot of interesting things we talk about. I can't thank Mark enough for taking the time. And if you're in Oregon and you're in Portland, it's only like an hour and 40 minutes. He's in the Willamette Valley. I'm trying to pronounce that. You'll notice in the interview I have trouble with it. That's where it is. So that's a beautiful wine region and a region for mushrooms and food, and not too far from the ocean, and there's oysters. And so if you're traveling to Portland, go down there and you can enjoy everything, and then go to Against the Grain Barbecue. They're open Wednesday through Friday right now. The hours will expand once it gets spring and summer, but right now it's Wednesday through Friday, 11:30 a.m. till 3 p.m. or until they sell out. And the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast and YouTube show is brought to you by Centex Smokers. You can find them on Instagram at Centex_smokers. That's C-E-N-T-E-X, like Central Texas _smokers. Based out of Luling, Texas. Make offset pits. Michael Johnson, been doing this since he was 6 years old. Amazing stuff he's doing. They're 4 to 5 months out. Give him a DM. Again, that's Centex Smokers. And we're also brought to you by Treaty Oak Distilling. They're in Dripping Springs, Texas. They have a physical location, 26 acres there. You can visit, try all their stuff, barbecue joint on site, but you can also go online at treatyoakdistilling.com. And if you could ship to your specific city, then you could have their stuff shipped. If not, you'll have to visit or go to a retail store in your area. They have a retail store finder. Again, Treaty Oak Distilling. If you're digging this, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out. Hit the bell notification. I think that notifies you and puts these interviews into your feed. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. Tons of stuff. Huge resource. Trying to build upon it every day. But at the end, thanks for listening. Enjoy this one. It's a good one. Well, good morning, Chef. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good.
So let's, this has been a few months coming. We've been trying to get this together.
Right.
So are you back? Because I've seen you going all over the place. Let's go back because you're in Eugene, Oregon. You grow up in Eugene?
Yeah, for the most part. I was born in Michigan, moved to San Diego when I was a kid, lived in California for a little bit. When I was 10 years old, we moved to Oregon. I've pretty much been here my whole life.
So your family, did they go up there just to get away from California, or were there a specific
just
job?
Just work, yeah. My dad, I grew up in a plumber and pipe fitter family. My dad kind of traveled around, you know, Iowa, obviously all the cold weather, like frozen pipes was good business for him. Moved to California. It was a little high-end living, so it was a little rough for my dad at the time. But yeah. We moved to Oregon when we were 10. Same thing. There was some work opportunities up here. And the whole family fell in love with the area. The second we got to Oregon, we loved it. It kind of felt like that old Iowa roots out in the, you know, country living, just fell in love with it. My parents moved shortly after that because my dad worked in the union. When I was 18, I stayed in Oregon, pretty much stayed here my whole life.
Oh, nice.
I love it.
That's awesome. So is Eugene a little bit more east or is it coastal?
It's more west. We're about 40 minutes from the beach.
Okay.
We're 2 hours south of Portland. We're almost smack dab right in the middle of the state, right on the I-5 corridor.
Oh, perfect. Okay, cool. That's right. Yeah, like I'm essentially 40 minutes from the Pacific Ocean too, but
yeah.
I just went for the first time in a year and I felt like what a
nice. Same here. It's crazy. I don't make it out there as much as I'd like, but I just went to the coast and spent a weekend with a couple friends and it was amazing.
Oh yeah, we were going to connect then and that looked beautiful. Yeah. And the Oregon coast is spectacular.
It's amazing. I love it, especially in the winter. A lot of times people don't go there during the winter, but they don't realize that it's actually nicer a lot of times in the winter. You get better weather during the winter months than you do in the summer. A lot of times in the summer it'll be 100 degrees in Eugene and you drive to the coast and it's socked in with fog and it's 60 degrees and cold. It's super weird how that has that inversion effect on the coast during the summer, but the winter it opens up, blue skies, beautiful. A lot of times it'll be, you know, pissing down rain in Eugene and you'll drive to the coast and it's blue sky, not a cloud around. It's the weirdest thing when you're only 40 minutes away from it.
Oh
It's
wow,
crazy.
that's awesome. That's actually that could be like one of the big tips from this interview was it's to go during the winter months,
Absolutely.
because that's probably too like it might be even cheaper to stay on the coast because people don't realize that it's a.
It is actually. Our hotel rooms were next to nothing. They were like $70 a piece for these nice rooms. Hardly anybody there. It was great. We had the
That's
whole beach
crazy.
to ourselves.
That's awesome. And if you're like, it's really not that far. Like for the drive, if you're somewhere in California, the drive up north is just spectacular. The beaches get better and better, and the trees get even more dense and more. It's yeah. There's once you once I remember when I went cross country. This is when I was 19 with some friends. We as soon as we hit the Oregon border, we're like, what are all these trees? Like it was so it, trees as far as the eye could see, and we're
Oh
not
yeah,
yeah.
trees and moss hanging down. It's crazy.
So did you go straight into culinary school, or did you go to college first?
No, I went straight into culinary school when I was 18. I did a full year. I did the 1 year program. I was going to go into the second year. I was actually signed up for it, but found out second year was all learning how to manage and run your own restaurant, do all your own accounting. I wasn't ready for that at that time. I literally was just ready to just launch myself into a kitchen and get into making food. And that's pretty much what I did. As soon as I got out of culinary school, I started working at a restaurant, got a roommate shortly after that. He was blowing glass, and I started blowing glass next to him. He taught me all the tricks. I was making more money doing that. So I kind of put cooking on the back burner for about 10 years.
That is so rad. I love glass blowing that artist said, oh, that's killer.
It was great. It was a great market. It was kind of up and down. Living that life where you're kind of self-employed can be tricky at
Oh yeah.
times, especially when you're relying on different shops to buy, to buy your art. It was tricky at times. So I kind of did the up and down thing for a while, got out of it. The second I got out of it, I just dove right back into my chef roots, started working in restaurants up in Bend, Oregon, where I was living at the time. Worked at, damn near every downtown restaurant there for a while. Moved back to Eugene, and when I got back to Eugene, my goal was to open a food truck within the first year. Realized there wasn't a lot of barbecue in Oregon, for that matter. There was a little bit here and there, but the barbecue in the Northwest it's kind of got a bad rap. It really is interesting how nobody, there's really no style of barbecue in the
For sure.
Northwest. You
No,
know how
yeah.
Texas has it, Carolina with the vinegar, Memphis. Everybody has their own region of barbecue. The Northwest is a bunch of chefs that combine their chef roots with barbecue, so it's kind of all over the place. But now places are starting to pop up where it's
It's
people are
changing.
dialing in Texas and Carolina style up here, so it's starting to put an get a name for itself here. When I wanted to open a food truck, that was the first thing I thought of, is there's not really good barbecue around here. I want to dive into it, so I bought my first pit from Clint Shockey out in Tyler, Texas, East Texas Smoker Company. I bought a pit from him, a little 250, brought it to Oregon.
What year was this?
That was 5 years
5 years
ago.
ago, okay.
Yeah, so about 5 years ago, I bought my first pit. Really didn't know what I was getting myself into at that point. Never cooked on a stick burner ever in my life. I'd only used propane smokers here and there, so it was kind of a learning curve. Luckily, we have Oregon White Oak out here, which is a cousin to the Texas Post Oak. So as soon as I started, diving in, throwing logs into the smoker, learning little bits here and there, I started to go to Texas more often and take trips. Started talking to other barbecue guys and started to learn the roots of what kind of barbecue I was really into. And Texas stood out for me. I love the fact that it's just high quality meat, salt, pepper, and smoke. There's nothing
Yeah.
trying to hide the flavor of what's there, I just fell in love with it. And that's kind of why I picked and chose Texas barbecue.
At that time when you had the pit, you had the 250, did you have were you selling it at all, or was it all for yourself or giving to friends or?
I wasn't. I had a lot of friends coming over for backyard barbecues. The word got out. People started asking me, "Hey, will you do my buddy's birthday party? Will you do this
Gotcha.
event? Will you go to the Oregon Duck game and set up here?" And I was like, "Yeah, let's try it out." The second I got out there, man, it exploded for me. The catering thing started. We literally just went from one event every month to every 2 weeks to every week. We started getting into doing events every 3 days a week, and we just got so bombarded with doing the catering thing. I had to go bigger, so I bought another pit, a bigger pit on a trailer from Johnson Smoker Company out of Ennis, Texas.
Gotcha.
It was on a trailer. It was a 500-gallon pit. Pretty much outgrew that pit in less than a year. Bought another one. So it's from that road on, about 4 years ago, and we started our catering company. It just exploded, and I haven't even looked back, man. It's been nuts the whole time.
So obviously you made the right decision. There was a need for that in the area. And it's funny how certain areas, as soon as you come out with barbecue, that's good quality barbecue. it's people just gravitate towards it. It's
no, people love it. And that's the thing. Like I said out here, there's barbecue, but it really, I hate to say it, it doesn't really make sense. It's almost like every barbecue in the whole United States combined into one thing is what a lot of people are doing out here. It just,
To me, it seemed like a lot of places were just almost like rib places, or they were kind
yeah,
of,
yeah, a lot of tri-tip too.
yeah,
You know, the
try.
whole West Coast is the that you know the tri Santa Maria steak, the tri-tip.
Which is.
Tri-tip's huge up here. You go to Texas and they pretty much look at tri-tip like it's steak. You know, it's kind of a it's more of a meaty steak cut rather than a smoked piece of meat. I realize it is starting to pop off a little bit more in Texas now. People are starting to cook the tri-tip a little bit more, but
Yeah, I've noticed a couple of places actually have it, yeah, which is funny.
yeah, it's cool. It's an easy piece of meat to cook too. It's a fraction of the time of brisket. You know, it's very forgiving.
Very forgiving.
You
I was
can
gonna
cook
say
it.
that same thing. It's very forgiving,
It's
definitely.
very forgiving. You can undercook it, cook it medium rare even, and you can serve it as is, or you can cook it all the way through, braise it a little bit, soften the meat, and cut it, and it's amazing. But you know, I'm bringing brisket, I'm bringing all the traditional Texas meats to the table here in Eugene, and people are loving it. Our business is slamming.
So we had kind of talked off camera. Is Eugene in Willamette Valley? Is that
Yeah, Willamette
Willamette?
Valley.
Willamette. Sorry, I'm not
No, no
putting
worries.
the correct.
No, the Willamette Valley stretches all the way from Portland, all the way through Salem, down into Eugene, and
Okay.
into Roseburg, which is just down south of us, about an hour.
And can you
Willamette Valley
talk a
is
little bit
huge.
about it? Yeah, because it's pretty a fascinating place.
It's beautiful. You know, it's flat in the valley, just surrounded by mountains. There's a mountain range that you got to go over to get to the coast, which is about 40 minutes from Eugene. The other direction going east, there's a big mountain range that takes you up into the high desert, Bend, Oregon, Lapine, Crescent. That area is beautiful. It's 3 to 5,000 feet up in elevation, full of juniper trees, snowy mountains, and it's beautiful. But that's the great thing. You can literally, in Oregon, you can go surfing in the morning, get in your car, drive up to the mountains, strap on a snowboard, and go snowboarding in the same day. It's insane that you get that versatility just in that one area where you can hit the beach and hit the mountains in the same day. And a lot of my friends do that just for fun. It's awesome.
They used to say that about Los Angeles, but because of the traffic, I don't think you could possibly do that at
I
all.
know. Hit a Big Bear. Yep, totally. That's
That would
awesome.
take you get there by nighttime, but also,
Exactly. Yeah, be night skiing.
yeah, but also too, like it's a different there's a different vibe in Oregon. It's a little bit it's relaxed. It's a different I don't know. I just feel calmer whenever I'm in Oregon. So now, so you've gone because of your passion for barbecue. You've said you've gone to Texas, and you've gone there. Has it been recently that you've stashed there, or was how did you go a few years ago to stash with
No,
people?
I went a few years ago. My dad retired about 4 years ago when we first started our catering company. And for his retirement gift, I said, "Hey, let's go to Texas. Let's fly into
Oh,
Austin,
cool.
fly out of DFW." So we rented a car, hit all the places in Austin area. Went up, hit guest family, hit a bunch of places up in Dallas Fort Worth area, and we just checked out different spots. I got to meet a bunch of people. One of my favorite, he's a great friend to this day, is Brendan Lamb. I met him when he was working at Le Barbecue in Austin, and that was just when I was kind of scratching the surface with barbecue. I got to meet up with him. We chatted a bunch. We kind of were chatting online a bunch. I flew back a few times to meet up with him to eat barbecue. Now he's running Smiley's. I flew out a few months ago when we had a bunch of fires here in Oregon. We had to shut down because I couldn't run my
Oh,
smokers because of all the
yeah.
smoke in the area. I was able to run my little 250 that I have at my house, so I was able to make a bunch of barbecue. And we went out for 7 days straight, and we're feeding all the families that were displaced from the fire.
Oh.
So we set up at the high school, we set up at Silky Field, we set it up at a couple hotels during that week. At the end of it, I was pretty burnt out from just serving barbecue for 7 days straight to these people. Fires were still here. I couldn't run my company. I called Brennan and said, "Hey, man, I need to get out of Oregon for a minute, get out of the smoke. Can I come kick it with you and come work at your restaurant for a little bit?" I flew to Texas pretty much the next day, met up with him. I was at Smiley's for 9 days and cooked with him.
You must have learned so much.
I learned a lot, and we were feeding off of each other. You know, I've got a big chef background.
That's
Brendan
true.
is pretty much strictly barbecue, so I was teaching him a lot of different side dishes, but he was teaching me a bunch with the technique on working on a thousand, because I had just bought my thousand from Harper Barbecue a few months before that, so I was pretty new to learning that bigger pit. So he helped me on his primitive a little bit to kind of show me the roots on how they function and what placements to keep your, you know, different cuts of meat in different areas on the pit. So that was really helpful. But he hooked me up with a stage with working with Brandon Hurtado at Hurtado Barbecue for a day. So I got to go in there and work with Manny. I got to run the pits with him all day. I got to trim a bunch of briskets. It was fun, man. That's Brandon killer. Is such a great guy. I got to hang out with him towards the end. I got to eat lunch and hang out with him and his wife. And he's just an all around, just super nice guy. It was
such
great
a
to
good
kick
guy. And I've seen photos recently of their food, and it seems like it's just getting better.
It's just getting better. Yeah. His Latin Mexican twist on barbecue is such a cool, unique side of, you know, smoked barbecue. And that's something I really, really love. We just ordered a second food trailer from SDG Trailers out of Georgia. Wow. And we're launching a new food trailer in May of this year. And we're doing a Oaxacan Tex-Mex. So what? We're kind of what? Taking on that yeah. style.
And Brandon's Oaxacan doing, food is just ridiculous.
It's great. Well, I love it. You know, so when unique. I lived in Bend, I worked at a Latin restaurant for a long time. And a lot of my friends kind of nicknamed me Marxico, which is pretty funny because my obsession with Mexican cooking. And I've always had that in my background of making moles and doing, you know, all my favorite dishes, Peruvian dishes, chancho al sancho, ají de gallina. I love doing, you know, Southern Latin dishes, the cochinita pibil. So I kind of want to combine smoked barbecue with, you know, that Southern Mexican cooking. It's kind of a food that it technically doesn't exist in a weird sense. I mean, Tex-Mex is there, but I kind of want to combine those Southern Mexican flavors with the Tex-Mex. So I'm kind of going out on a limb doing this new food truck, but I think it's going to be a huge hit here. People love smoked barbecue and they love Mexican cuisine. Oh, yeah, so yeah. Combining those two, the flavors just work together so well.
Are you in a fixed location?
We are. Yeah. We're next to a weed dispensary, which is pretty funny. We rent a spot from the weed dispensary, which are everywhere here in Oregon. I rent a spot in the back. There's a Dairy Mart, a little kind of a convenience store, and then there's the dispensary, and we're in the back. We're fully fenced in. I got my 1,000 up against the back fence, and I got my food truck parked in front of that and a full seating area in front of that. So it's like a 90-foot stretch of area that's fully fenced in. Pablo parks in front of us. He's a taco truck that parks there Monday through Friday. So we're bringing in food during the week, and on the weekends we have Moe's Soul Fusion, which is soul food, that parks up in front of the taco truck. So it's usually, you know, three food trucks all going at the same time on the weekends, which is great.
Are you Wednesday through Sunday right now?
We're Wednesday through Friday right now, Wednesday. Just for the winter hours. Here soon, we're going to be doing Monday through Friday. But right now, it's been raining so bad. It's really hard to get people to stand out in these long lines in the pouring down rain. And we really don't have a covering for our customers out front. So everyone's out there, you know, umbrellas battling the wind, and it's crazy. We have a lot of diehard customers that go through that, but, you know, on general average, most people want to sit in their car and go through a drive-through on those crappy days. So it's kind of hard to bring in the traffic.
In May, when you bring in the other trailer, will it be a food truck or just a trailer?
So it's a pull behind trailer, just like the one I have now, but, the SDG trailer I have now has a smoker on the back of it. We actually don't use it anymore because I have the 1,000.
Yeah.
So I have a smaller area that we're working out of that's just, it's very tight, and we're not utilizing the full space because that other smoker is not really being used. So ideally I'd like to have both of them parked side by side because we can share the 1,000-gallon pit with both foods, supply barbecue for against the grain, and supply the smoked meats for Tabiche, which is the name of my new taco. Oh, nice. Or the Oaxacan Tex-Mex.
Are you going to hire somebody else, or do you already have someone in line that you want to?
We do. We have a couple people that we're bringing on. I do have two employees now. I have my sister that works front counter, my wife's sister that fills in front counter, and then I have a meat slicer that helps me out during shift. So it's a pretty small, tight crew. But
come May, will you need somebody else too, or no?
We're going to definitely have to hire a couple people. But it's a full mobile restaurant. You know, it's got a 9-foot hood, double basket deep fryer, 4-burner stove, a 4-foot flat top.
Wow.
You know, 2 warming cabinets, 2 fridges. It's basically everything you need to rock out food, you know, just a mobile restaurant.
That's
and it's
crazy.
A class 4, so it's a commissary kitchen too, so we can do all of our prep, all of our cooking, all of our storage right in sight.
Wow. Well, let's talk about your menu.
So, yeah, so with barbecue or the Oaxacan?
Let's talk barbecue first, and then
a barbecue. Then what,
for sure. Yeah.
So we have prime brisket. We get our briskets from Cedar River Farms out of Colorado. Yeah. So we use prime brisket. We do pulled pork every day. I have pork belly burn-ins on the menu every single day. I make all my sausages in-house. We're always making new sausages every week, so we're bringing on new flavors. let's see, we have smoked turkey on the menu every day. And our sides, we do poppy seed coleslaw, Bob's Red Mill cheesy grits. We do chuck wagon pork beans. And then we have a list of sandwiches. We always do banana pudding, which is ironic because I'm deathly allergic to bananas. So I have
Are
my
you
wife
really?
Make, oh yeah, I can't even be around them. But it's a staple for Texas. It's
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
kind of one of those things I have to have on the menu.
Oh my gosh, that's so that is so crazy. Do you have a standard sausage that you always have and then a special, or do you just kind of mix it up?
I don't. I actually mix it up every week, you know, and I'm kind of, you know, sometimes I just kind of go off the beaten path and make random stuff. We've really been having a huge hit with making chicken sausages lately, which isn't very traditional, you know, down in Texas. We did a chicken cordon bleu that took off last week that was really good. I got 6 pounds of chanterelles about a month ago and did a chicken and chanterelle mushroom sausage that was a huge hit. And the smoke flavor that you get from, you know, adding to that chicken really takes on a lot of smoky flavor just on a real quick smoke bath. We cook our sausages about 52 minutes, and just that little time, man, it just brings on such great flavor. But on average, you know, all my brisket trim goes into sausage making. Jalapeno cheddar is always a huge hit. That's always our number one seller. We do an all beef Czech sausage that's really good. And we did I did a all beef chorizo. I did some pork sausages last week. I did a blueberry maple pork sausage that was amazing. Tasted like breakfast all in one sausage. It was amazing. But I just try to be creative. You know, my chef roots, my chef background. Mm-hmm. I'm always trying to just, you know, keep it creative, always coming up with new things. And it keeps my customers really excited. We have a huge fan base. Anytime someone sees a new sausage that I made, they always buy it just to try it, you know? So it's pretty cool just to have that versatility. I get kind of bored when I'm doing the same things over and over.
No, and that's good. And then I think that helps you from not burning out. That's
yeah, absolutely.
Because if you're doing the same thing over and over and over again, there's no way you could not burn out. Like it just seems to happen. Now you use chanterelles. Is that so? Or do you blend local ingredients into what you're doing? Like, and also
I
having
do,
grits
yeah.
is
we,
nice. Is, that's unique.
So
too.
We try to get everything as local as we can. We use all Tillamook cheese, which is from the Oregon coast. We use Bob Red Mill grits, which is out of Portland. I use Dairy Gold cream, which is out of Seattle. I try to use as much local ingredients as we can. That's huge for our Willamette Valley. If you're helping your local people, you're helping your state, you're helping your economy, which is huge for us. I don't like to get too much stuff out of state. I get what I can on, you know, a certain price point, but it's, you know, we have local ingredients on access all the time. So I try to shoot for that.
And once the pandemic kind of, once things get a little bit more normal, do you think that you'll do things because I'm going to say it wrong again. Willamette Valley.
Willamette.
It's known for wine too. So is that
it is,
with
yeah.
pairings and things? I wonder if there's options or maybe events of it someday or who knows what.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's funny that I've actually been called out a few times by a few wineries that wanted me to go set up after winery
Makes
for
sense.
Events. Yeah, but that recently obviously has shut down. There's nobody doing kind of outdoor events. So all this last summer, our first year in business, it was pretty much just doing all food to go. So we didn't do any of those, but hopefully soon when things kind of get back to normal, we'll be able to pull up one of our food trucks or one of our smoker trailers and do some events. Pairing smoked barbecue with wine is your normal, but it works great. Everyone's sitting outside and, you know, it's just more of that, just community vibe where people can kind of hang out, drink wine, enjoy the scenery, have some barbecue and enjoy each other's company, you know?
Wow. So do you have any, did you say that you have seating? We were going quickly.
We do. We just have, we have two picnic tables with umbrellas up front. It's pretty small. We don't have the area for a huge seating, but to be honest with you, we're kind of in an industrial part of Eugene. So a lot of our clientele is people that come up buying food for the whole office and bringing it back to their office and eating there. You know, on our really nice sunny days, our whole patio area is full of people, which is great. People bring their dogs out, hang out. It's not your average spot to kind of kick it and hang out for the day. There's no alcohol being served, so people don't stay for too long.
Yeah,
but
that's true. That is true.
But it's nice. You got to have a little area for people to kind of hang out for a minute, you know, when someone's on a bike or walking up with their kids.
Yeah. And what time do you guys open?
We open at 11:30.
And are you selling out generally, like at a certain time?
We usually get down to hardly any ingredients. Our goal is to be open till 3 every day, and we usually stay open till 3. There's a few times where we've sold out completely, but right at 3, we hardly have a scoop of beans left at that point. You know, there's hardly anything, maybe a rack of ribs, but hardly
anything.
So it's
best to come early, but also too, if you come at 11:30, How long would you wait?
We usually, our goal is to get everything out within 5 to 7 minutes, but at 11, our line already starts. So we usually have 15, 20 people in line before we pull our gate open.
Gotcha.
But it's, you know, two of us in there, one guy slicing meats, one person making sides. You know, with barbecue, that's the great thing. Everything's made already. So literally you just got to pull it from the warming cabinet, slice it up, plate it, get it out the window as quick as you can.
And right now, because of the way you're set up and the way things are, you don't have online ordering, and you also
we don't
people can't. There was something else I was going to, but the online ordering, you're not, people aren't ordering ahead. So that's, it's all, it's,
no.
It's, well, lineup, which is standard.
We would love to do it. The problem is we don't have any place to put the food. You know, our food trailer is 22 feet long. The back porch is 8 feet that has the smoker on it that we're not using. So our actual
area
that we're cooking in, there's three people in there. There's no counter space, no anything. There's really no room to put it. If someone isn't there when we call their name out, and there's, you know, four clamshells full of food, we barely have enough room to put the next order next to it because there's, you know, hardly any counter space. And that's kind of my goal of getting this new food truck. It's a lot bigger, a lot more counter space. I didn't really know what I was getting myself into when I bought this first food trailer. I'm like, you know, 22 feet, it's big enough. I'm going to have plenty of room. When you get in there with three people, you're bumping elbows, man.
Of course,
it's crazy.
Yes.
You're stepping on toes and just like you're kind of moving around and you got to have that, you know, on your tippy toe kind of etiquette where you're going smooth through people. That's crazy, man. You get to know your workers, you know, quite well, really fast.
Have you worked in small kitchens before?
I have. I've worked in kitchens that are the size of a closet before. It's crazy.
Yes, you probably got
to use it. Sometimes hard when you're busy, you know, you guys are kind of screaming at each other. It gets a little hectic, but you know, you make it work at the end of the day, buy each other beer. Hey man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you that. Sorry. You got in my way a little bit, but it's just the way it goes. You got to learn how to work with each other in a tight space. You know?
And there's also no call-in orders, right? That was what the second thing I was going to ask you. Cause I think
I had studied
your website a couple weeks ago from what I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's, I tried to answer my phone. I used to have it on during the day. Now I just turn my phone off cause we don't even have time to answer the phone. A lot of times,
sense.
No, someone calls, hey, what's on your menu today? I'm like, man, I'm right in the middle of slicing. I got 15 tickets up. I can't even, you know, for me to explain it takes so much time. Get on my website. So now I have a message on my phone. Check my website. Daily menus are on there. Every morning I snap photos. I put it on Instagram, put it on Facebook.
Great stuff.
Let people
know. The photos are killer.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. And like those burn ends too. That's kind of a unique thing to have in.
It is. Yeah. You know, we were doing them just on special and we sell so many of them. I just put them on my menu permanently. So we do about 20 to 30 pounds of pork belly every single morning and they go fast. We get people that come up, they get 3 pounds at a time and it's crazy.
Wow.
And I can eat one or two of those. They're so rich.
It's so rich.
I don't.
Hopefully, it's
a
group of people.
I ask myself that all the time. I'm like, man, that's crazy. It's just pure fat. I love them, but I can. Yeah, like I said, I'll eat one once in a while, two.
And it's a great compliment to other things that you're getting. And everything is by the pound, and then also sandwiches, right?
Yep. And sometimes people will do. I'll do pre-orders for people. We have people call us that say, hey, you know, I got on Friday next week. We're trying to do a. 15 people in our office. Can we show up at 11:15 and pick it up? I'm like, yeah, no problem. I'll
do
pre-order stuff like that when it's a smaller bit. And I tell people show up before we open. Cause when we open, if you show up after that, it's going to be hard for me to get this out to you. So just show up a little early. And that's helped a lot, especially during the month of December. We did a ton of holiday parties for people. So that was huge for us.
Wow. So holiday parties still existed in Oregon. That's awesome.
They did. I guess I say holiday party. It's more of just the workforce trying to do something.
It's probably just feeding the workforce. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. They couldn't go out and have a, you know, most people go to the restaurant with their whole crew and they buy everybody dinner.
Yeah,
this year they couldn't do it. So they're just ordering a little bit of food takeout to have at their office. So that was pretty cool.
Do you think you'd ever want to have a brick and mortar or do you?
You know, I would love to have a brick and mortar, but I don't see myself doing it anytime soon. Before we ordered that second food trailer, I had a broker I was working with and we were going around Eugene and looking at all these places that were actually closing down, people that couldn't make it. There was places dropping off the map left and right, and there still is. It's crazy. All these spots are opening up. We almost pulled the trigger on one spot that would have been perfect for barbecue. And I'm so glad that we didn't, because shortly after that, the pandemic got even worse than it originally was in the beginning. Everything went full shutdown. Our state is still shut down until March 3rd. There's still outdoor seating, but it's pretty limited right now.
All bars, all those.
All bars, all gyms, all, you know, all restaurants right now. No dine-in, anything. It's all just takeout, Grubhub. All those Grubhub places are killing it right now. They're just, You know, their sales are up 50, 70%. It's insane. It's crazy. You know, you go to Costco and people are literally neck and neck, elbow to elbow. And I'm like, this is crazy.
It's
where
bizarre.
We can't go and have a meal, but you guys allow this. You know, this is, it's weird times right now. I don't really get what's
going on. It's
going to
be really,
on.
Really weird to look back on this to see
it
kind of
is.
How, what was right, what was wrong, what was idiotic, and what was what made sense. Yeah, it is strange that there's a lot of places that could be run properly with distancing just as well as a supermarket or a Costco.
It's crazy, man. It's some of those big corporations are just slammed full of people. You know, you got people up front, you know, with the little ticker checking how many people are in there. And I look, I'm like, how many people are you actually letting in here? Because there's people literally touching everybody elbow to elbow. And it just doesn't really make sense. But, you know, it's just right now, time will tell. You know, like you said, we'll look back and see what was right, what was wrong, you know, and what worked and what didn't.
Exactly. But I'm happy that your business is thriving. That's amazing. And do people say, what's against the grain?
Yeah. Well, I've had people, the name is, turned a few people around. People think that I'm a gluten-free barbecue. And I'm like, you know, technically I am. I spray my meat with a little Worcester, which has a little gluten in it. But I said, unless you're getting the bread or a bun, it's pretty much gluten-free for the most part. But some people don't get it right. I'm actually, you know, I talk to people, you know, against the grain really just means cutting the meat properly against the grain and not with the grain. But yeah, some people don't get it when they hear the name.
If someone flew into Portland, how long of a drive is it?
It's about an hour and 40 minutes to get to where we're at, depending on traffic.
It'd be traffic in Portland, but once you got outside, it would be a fun drive, right?
It's beautiful. It's all farm fields. You know, it's kind of flat with mountains on either side. So it's just flat, beautiful, one straight solid road all the way down I-5.
Do you have and also on your hand, do you have a knife on your hand?
I have, so I got forks and spoons, knives. I'm covered in barbecue tattoos, carnivore.
Oh, that's rad. That's rad. How long have you had that one?
This one I got in Austin, actually. It was cool. Every time I go to Texas, I usually get a Texas tattoo of some kind.
Do you have a tattoo place in Austin or in Texas that you love?
I'm trying to remember the one that I got in All Saints.
I think it's called All Saints Tattoo,
downtown in Austin. That's where I got a couple tattoos, from Brian there. He's super cool. Every time I go there, I'll call Brian. I'll say, hey, can you squeeze me in? No problem, buddy. Come on in. It's awesome. I usually try to get 2 to 3 tattoos in one sitting because I don't get much time to get tattoos. And when you're working in food service, tattoos take a little while to heal. So if I'm going to get some, I'm going to get a few at once. Same with Brendan Lamb. He usually gets a few. He's fully tatted now too. He's crazy. He just got a big Smiley's tattoo right on his hand.
Oh, did
and
he?
It's got his whole logo. Yeah, it's awesome. It's cool. But he's always getting hand and arm tattoos. It's hard to have those healing wounds while you're working with food, you know, so you got to usually either take some time off or do it on a weekend.
For being a chef, do you have cuts or burns or anything on your arms from
They're covered up now in tattoos. You know, down here, when I used to work in pizza ovens, the worst burns you get when you're reaching up into the pizza oven, you get one down here. But most of them are pretty covered now.
That's crazy. That's I have a friend who he worked with Wolfgang for a while. And
nice.
I think at Spago. And his arms were so – but also he had keloid. He's one of those guys who when he gets burns or cuts, they keloid. They kind of, when they heal up, it's like a more of a raised.
Yeah, it kind of lifts up a little bit. Yep. You know, when I first walked into Guest Family Barbecue, I was following Cade Mercer for a little bit. Never met the guy ever. We just, you know, I think I gave a couple comments on his food and I walked in and I was there with my sister cruising through, just passing, hitting all the barbecue spots. And he kind of, as we were in line, he poked around and he's like, against the grain. I was like, seriously? I was like, how did you recognize me? This is crazy. I kind of felt, you know, mildly famous for half a second. It was pretty cool that, you know, when you're on the internet, you're on Instagram, the barbecue world is so huge because my feed is nothing but barbecue. So I just think barbecue is everywhere. When you step away, the barbecue world in a sense is so tiny. When you really look at the same group of people, you know, everyone now that Tootsie has been on Netflix, which is awesome. I love that special with her on there.
It was so well
She's
done.
World famous now. When we did the Brett's Backyard Barbecue 2-year party a few months back, I was working with Brendan Lamb. That was a fun event. Tootsie came through and just everybody in the whole event just kind of dropped and just made eye contact with Tootsie. And everybody literally was starting to make a beeline to go say hi and give their respects. You could kind of see a look on her face where she was almost scared for a second. Like, this is nuts. Everywhere she goes now, she just got put in the limelight. Now she's super famous. And, you know, she's been famous for so long. Now that she did that special, now, you know, she's way up there. I think it's great. You know, she deserved it. She earned it. She's out there.
She is such a kind person. And I've interviewed her twice. And the second time when I interviewed her, she remembered me and she mentioned some stuff. And I'm like, wow, that is really, like, she remembers me. Like,
yeah, she was a sweetheart. When I met her at Brett's, she shook my hand and she's like, I think it's so sweet that you came all the way here from Oregon to do this, you know, backyard Brett's party. I said, you know, I'm honored to be here. And I said, it's even more of an honor to meet you. And that was a just quick little pass by. But she was such a sweetheart. It was nice to finally, you know, pay my respects and say hello to her.
How was that event? Sure.
It was great. We had a fun, fun time. I got to meet a lot of really, really cool folks. I got to see a lot of friends that I haven't seen in a while. It was busy. It was fast paced. I was kind of bummed that we were so busy during the day that I wasn't able to get to make my rounds to go try everybody's food. I got to meet a few people. I got to meet Bill Dumas. Am I saying that right? Dumas?
Yeah.
From
yeah,
Bill, Liberty Barbecue.
I always say Dumas, but I think it's Dumas.
He did a sausage class in Vegas this last weekend. That looked like it was awesome. But me and him have been chatting about getting together and doing a little sausage collab at some point. And this same with Dozer's Barbecue.
Oh, wow.
He's been trying to get me to come out. So I'm thinking about hopefully this summer I can fly out. Yeah, he's super cool, man. I got to meet him for the first time at Brett's, and I brought some venison backstrap pastrami that I made to serve at that event, and he tried it. He was floored. He's like, man, this is unreal. This is great food. He said, your level of skill, he's like, I want you to come out here and come make some sausages with me or come out and do a stage, do a cook.
That's the world. That's what this world is.
I love it. And that's the thing with, you know, a lot of chefs want to get together and cook together. Barbecue guys are the same way, and I love it. For me, just feeding off of other people, you know, getting to cook with one another is a blast.
And you also mentioned that Cade came out?
Yeah, so me and Cade just did a barbecue class on December 5th. He flew out, stayed at my house. We did a full class at my location. We had, I think, 19 students.
Wow.
During that day. We did, you know, brisket, ribs. We did pork belly burn-ins two ways. We did a gochujang, like a Korean style pork belly burn-in, then we did a traditional with barbecue sauce. We did some cowboy tri-tips where we actually burnt down the coals a little bit in the firebox, laid the coals out, and we cooked the meat directly on the coals. So that was pretty cool to do more of like that, you know, that cowboy cooking. We did some tri-tips in the smoker. We did a giant pork loin. Man, we cooked so much food. We made sausages from scratch that day. We taught how to take our trim from our brisket and make the sausages. But it was a huge full day of class, full day of eating, full day of drinking beers. It was awesome, man.
Is that something you're going to be doing more of?
You know, I'd like to. The first class we ever did here, I actually had Brendan Lamb come out a couple years ago, and we did it right out of my driveway in my house. I had my trailer parked up front. I think we had 15 students for that day. All we did was brisket and pork belly. So it was kind of a long day of just sitting around answering questions. We did 5 briskets that day. Super, super fun class. And then last summer, I did one on my own at my trailer, and I had 19 students for that one. It was really tricky to do that many students by myself.
That's probably
so I was like, I don't ever want to do that again. So now I'm like, I'm trying to have another person come out. And it's always that great feeling to have someone fly in from another state, you know, take a class together. I just signed up for a class last night for Melissa Cookston and Tuffy Stone's class in Horn Lake, Mississippi, which is crazy. I'm not a big competition guy. I did a few competitions, which was fun before I opened my food truck. I'm taking the class. I'm really more into learning the whole hog cooking, which is fun. That's something I've never done before, so I'm into that. They're also doing whole chickens, which I'm kind of into checking out. They're also doing brisket, ribs, pork shoulders, that kind of thing. I'm just more into going, to be honest with you, to go to a new place. I've never been to Mississippi.
Neither have I.
I get to meet two legends in the barbecue. Yes. I get to learn from them, which they don't do classes very often. To have two people at that caliber teaching, I'm super excited to go out. And that class is March 19th to the 22nd.
Okay.
So super excited to go out and check it out. So I signed up for that last night. It's an excuse for me to get out of Oregon for a minute and go check out a new area I've never been to. I'm super excited. It'll be fun to go learn a few tricks from those guys.
And even if you were just like hanging out with the two of them for...
That's the thing. It's, you know, it's exactly. It's not even really... It's just for me to go and hang out, meet some new people. And everyone who's taken the class, anybody who's going to take that class is pretty serious in barbecue, in my opinion. So it's great to just network with other people in other parts of the U.S., which is always fun for me, you know, and that's what I like about it. A lot of people in Austin stick to that same route. And that's what I feel with Cade, with CM Smokehouse now. He's literally putting a kind of a new style of barbecue on the map. With everything I've seen this last week, looks
Oh, it
really
looks
good. I
so
hope the
good.
best for him. He looks like he's going to be bringing in a big crowd with his style of food.
Oh,
And he's got a
yeah.
lot of culinary background too, so that he can cook, man. He's good.
Yeah, he's well respected, and he definitely earned his chops over at Guess, because they're doing a lot of unique things too.
You know, Guest Family, some of the best barbecue I've ever had in the whole state was at Guest Family Barbecue, I have to say. It was amazing. Everything, just everything down to the sides, all the meat was so perfectly cooked. I was pretty floored the first time I ate there.
Isn't it amazing how much good barbecue there is these days?
It's crazy.
It's
It's so crazy.
mind-boggling.
Yeah, I know. I got to, for the first time, when I went to go visit Brennan last time, I stopped in at Terry Black's, which I've been to in Austin, and I love the food there. I love the layout.
Yeah.
I got to meet Jeremy Conrad, which is the pit master at Terry Black's in Dallas.
Yeah.
He brought us in, gave us a full tour, gave me and Brandon a huge platter of food. It was unreal. The level of the brisket, the ribs were so spot on. I was floored. For an establishment that big with that much food being
Putting that
pumped
much
out,
volume, yeah.
that much volume, and having the food dialed into that precise level, I was blown away. I mean, when you do it on a small scale, you can dial everything in so perfectly, but to do, you know, a couple hundred racks of ribs in a day and, you know, 200 brisket or whatever they're doing. I mean, it was crazy to see the quality of it all just on one platter. It was great,
Yeah,
man.
when I'd first had talked to them about how much volume they did in Austin, it blew my mind, and that
Yeah.
they had like almost three shifts or something. It was
Yeah, it
something
was
like,
crazy. They were doing an overnight shift and 2 day shifts. It
yeah.
was crazy. And all those 4 pits, they never run out. They're always staying hot. It's nuts,
And
man.
to do and to like you said, like the consistency in general to in any kind of business, day after day after day, is just
Yeah,
in with that kind of volume.
especially when you got 3 guys or 4 guys handling the meat and there's different
Yeah,
people
it's not the
doing it.
same
You can
humans,
always
yeah.
count on that one guy to do it every day consistently, but when you get 3 to 4 guys doing it consistently day to day, that's awesome, man. It's
Yeah.
hard to find that level of quality and that people that are that passionate behind dialing it in on a
Yeah,
day-to-day
definitely.
basis.
For you, when people come, they don't really get a chance necessarily to chat as much. Can they chat after? Like, say they want to hang out a little bit after, if they came
Yeah, a
later
lot of
to.
times if I run through the tickets and I see someone out there, I'm like, "Hey, I'm going to come out and see
Yeah.
you." And a lot of
So I'm sure
people will be,
people
you
will
know,
want to
ask
after
me.
they see this. They'll want to chat with you.
Absolutely. No, and our 1,000 gallons fenced in, and we got the security slats in front of our fence, so you can't really see the pit very well. I have a lot of guys that ask if they can go back and see it, and I'll give them a little tour of the pit.
That's
And
cool.
people just they don't realize they're about ready to go look at a submarine. Most people have never seen a 1,000 gallon pit before, so they just their eyes light up.
It's a
It's pretty
beautiful
funny.
thing.
Same thing for me though. When I went to go pick up my 1,000 gallon for the first time in Southern California, I stood next to it, and I felt small all of a sudden. I'm like, man, I just stepped up big here. But it's now I can't see myself cooking on anything different. You know, I have a 250, a 500, and a 1,000. The 1,000 gallon cooks so much better than the other two smaller pits. And I would have thought the opposite.
Yeah.
It's just
How do you
crazy
like your
how
Harper? I'd like to yeah, what do
I
I like to
love
give
it,
them
man.
a shout out, 'cause I love those guys.
Oh, they're awesome. Drew is such a great guy. He's made a couple pits for me now. The 1,000 is unreal. His new baffle system he puts on his door, so you don't got to keep the door propped open. You can actually have the door closed. He's got a big 8-inch baffle that opens up.
Oh.
That flow from one side to the other is mind-boggling to me. You would think that it would be 400 degrees right next to the firebox and 200 on the other side, but it's not. It's a 1/2-inch plate steel too. So he was able to get me a pit that was a little thicker than most. It takes a little longer to warm up on those cold mornings, but once that thing gets up to temp, it purrs at 275 all day long. Just a few pieces of wood. It's easy to maintain when you got that thicker steel, you know, because it gets pretty cold here in Oregon. Our mornings are 38 degrees on average. So to get your pit from freezing cold up to temp takes at least an hour, hour and a half sometimes, you know. But
So
that's good when you're cooking brisket. It's good to
your
kind of
pit
start
isn't
off
covered,
slow.
is it? It's
It is covered with it's got a wooden structure with a metal corrugated
Okay,
roof.
that makes sense.
So
So it's
no
not getting rained
rain.
on. Yeah, okay.
No. And that's the one thing I've noticed with pits too. The thing that kills temperature out of anything, snow, wind, rain is the number one thing.
Yeah.
Rain saturates it and just drops the temp. Cold rain especially just kind of kills your temp. So it's nice to have it covered. It's important to have it covered.
So were you originally then cooking on a reverse flow and then you switched to a offset or?
So my first pit from East Texas Smoker Company was a reverse flow pit.
Okay.
I liked the way it cooked. The second one I went with was the Johnson T pit, which the firebox is directly down the middle, comes up through a baffle,
Ah.
goes underneath a couple pipes, around the meat, and out the two smokestacks that are right dead center in the middle. It's a weird design. It's super efficient, but they're also prone to catching on fire really easily because that firebox is direct.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Oh, I've ignited that thing multiple times. I'm, to be honest with you, I'm surprised my trailer's still standing. There was one fire that was so bad that it pretty much flaked off all the paint off the top of it. All the grates were completely wavy after all the flames. They got over 1,000 degrees. It was crazy. I had to let it burn out. And once you open the door and you add oxygen to it, it gets worse. And there's not much you can do except for let it burn out. I burnt up 10 prime briskets, 6 racks of beef ribs, and 40 pounds of chicken all in one morning. It was horrible. Just a huge financial loss.
Makes you want to cry. Yeah. It makes me want to cry.
It was horrible. It was horrible. And it was just, and it was right at the last bit after I'd wrapped my brisket. So everything was already almost done and ready to be pulled off. And the thing ignited and there was nothing I could do but let it burn out. I mean, I couldn't even reach my hand in there. The second I opened the door, flames were shooting out the door. I couldn't even reach in there to grab anything. So I just shut it down, closed off all the dampers to kill the oxygen on it. I mean, it was scary. It was crazy.
Do you know why that happened?
Well, yeah, because it's kind of weird. When the T-pit comes up, the pit sits on it completely flat. There's drain plugs on both ends of the pit. But if your trailer is angled one way or the other, there's an opening about, I would say, about this big above the firebox, and it only has a lip about an inch. So if your brisket fat's coming down and it's draining towards the firebox and it gets higher than an inch and starts to go down in the firebox, it just ignites up. It's a weird design. You know, they're super efficient if you're cooking things that don't drain and drip a lot of grease. Anytime I'd cook pork belly in it, I'd always put foil pans below it to catch the grease. But if you're cooking on all the grates and all the grease is coming down, there's not much you can do. I kind of learned the hard way on that one a few times. Crazy. But like I said, now I don't really use it. I use the 1,000. The 1,000 has a 3-inch drop from end to end. There's no chance of a fire ever happening in that thing.
No, they're so well built, and that's
they're cool. So well built. Yeah, his pits are amazing. I love it. And you know, Heritage Barbecue has all Harper pits, and we got to go down there on our trip to pick up my pit.
Oh, nice!
I got to meet them, and it was great, man. Their pits are super amazing. Those guys are rocking it right now. Yeah. Danny is awesome,
and he also has a chef background too.
Yeah, it shows too, man. Everything he makes, down to his sides, all of his meat was so spot on. His location is unreal. His spot that's right across from the Mission right there in San Juan Capistrano.
They're pretty
beautiful.
Lucky to have them down there, right?
Oh, that's amazing. That spot's a gold mine. I mean, they're just, you know, right now with everything that's happening in California, it's kind of a kick in the throat for what they're having to go through. But, you know, if they can get past that point,
imagine,
it's going to take off.
Yeah, it's going to be such like it. And it'll be a great place to hang out without a mask and have like an
absolutely.
Interest. That'll be nice. Yeah, I can't wait till I think mid this year to fall. Things are just going to open up and there'll be festivals again and people will be able to travel again. And it'll be great for you too, because people still are hesitant to travel. So once people get that back going up to see you, they should see you. And I can't wait to visit. I can't wait to hang out.
I'm so glad
you finally got to do this. And your food already looks amazing. Then hearing all about it. And then
thank you, man. I appreciate
listening
it.
Listening to your passion and how much you care and how much thought goes into what you're doing. That means a lot.
I love it. You know, it's just, I'm obsessed with food. I always have been ever since I went to culinary school. You know, it's funny. I'll wake up first thing in the morning. I'm like, honey, I'm making this for dinner. And she's like, we haven't even gotten out of bed yet. How are you even thinking about dinner? It's just, my mind is always moving. I think I'm dreaming about food sometimes when I wake up in the morning. And it's weird. I love it. I love cooking. I can't wait to open the new Oaxacan Tex-Mex. And it lights my fire internally because I get this feeling that I get to be a little bit more creative. I love doing barbecue, but sometimes the creativity can only go so far with barbecue. When you open something up like a Oaxacan Tex-Mex, I can start making all these different creative sauces and roasting different vegetables. And I'm looking forward to it. It gives me just another thing to look forward to and be excited about.
Have a great day. And
okay, you
we'll
too,
talk
buddy.
Soon. All right. Take it
okay.
Easy.
Thank
all
you. Right, see you, man.